bringing beer to your ear. It's time for What's on Tap, What's on Tap on KX93.5.
It's probably the best part of the job, you guys. And I am not going to lie. Being the official craft brew radio station of the craft brew scene here in Southern California, it does come with great responsibility. That's why we bring you the What's on Tap segment each and every Friday in the 4 p.m. hour on KX93.5. Courtesy of us as well as Straub Distributing Company. Normally, Howard Compton would be in that seat, my friend, but David Pixler is actually here, and Jim Kennedy from the Clashing Heads show.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, Jim. David Pixler, what's happening, brother?
Everything good.
That's great.
Everything good is happening.
That is great to hear. We probably, I don't know, Howard may very well join us next week.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he is absent today, but you are more than qualified to speak on craft beer.
And I try
appreciate
to
having you here, my friend. Jim, you're here, and not only are you a politics junkie as part of the Clashing Heads show each and every Sunday on the airwaves here, but you're a wine connoisseur yourself, and you said you even wanted to know more about beer, so that's why you're here.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it. I'm a big wine drinker and want to learn more about beer, and this thing is a great way. We were educating the public, and I'm honored to be here.
Right on. Well, it's good to have you. This month, we're actually featuring Golden Road Brewing. They're a craft brewery out of Los Angeles, and I'm happy to... Now, although we don't have a representative from Golden Road, we do have you, David Pixler.
Yes.
Yeah. And well, I don't know, what did we bring today?
Today we brought their 2020 IPA.
Yes. Which is something that's relatively new.
Yes, it just came out this past week.
And it is good. When I was reading about it, it was more or less like a hoppy red.
Yeah. You know? Red IPA.
Yeah, red IPA, and that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
And I guess most Imperial or double IPAs may very well be, you know, upwards of what sort of alcohol content you figure?
Generally anything over about 8% or so, you'd say would be like the low end of an Imperial.
Of a double, yeah.
Right, of a double or Imperial.
So this is just a regular IPA.
Right,
and
right.
You got like 7.4% in this one.
Right,
yeah.
This is a pretty good strength regular IPA.
So what do we know about Golden Road? They're very unfamiliar to me. I know they are brand new up in Los Angeles,
yes.
And they've been killing it so far, huh?
Right. Yeah. Been around since 2011. Meg Gill and Tony Yano, co-founders.
Yeah.
Meg was actually, at the time, the youngest person in the world to own a craft brewery. She has since hinted that that record has been taken from her. But yeah, they've been around since 2011. They started canning only.
Right.
Not any bottling whatsoever, which is very unique.
So there's no bottles of Golden Road beers out there at all.
They don't even have a bottling line, so they
and
can't do it.
You think there are some beer purists out there who would prefer it in bottles, but that, you know, when you look at the facts, I mean, canning beer is probably the better way to go, huh?
It is absolutely the best way to go because it completely keeps light away from the beer, which is damaging. Any kind of light, even interior lights in a room, fluorescent lights can damage beer over time.
Did you know that, Jim?
No, I did not. That's interesting because wine's always produced in glass bottles, though they tend to be dark glass bottles for similar reasons. I was going to ask why. So basically, that's the best way then is to prevent any damage before drinking. It's to put it in an aluminum can.
Absolutely. It also protects against oxidation, which can cause the beer to have off flavors.
Yeah.
You know, cans are completely sealed. With bottles, the caps can come loose a little bit or something might happen where it could cause it to oxidate.
Right. And some breweries that we like, we were talking off the air, Ballast Point's doing the canning thing these days, as well as Port Brewing or the Pizza Port guys down in San Diego. They're doing that as well. Yeah. But we're happy to have the Golden Road 2020 IPA. Now, this particular brewing company, I mean, they've been affiliated with some charitable organizations in the past. The Heal the Bay IPA is a big one for them.
Yep.
And now the 2020 IPA is, I don't know if this is going to be around for a long time. Do you think it is going to be?
It's part of their series, their IPA series that they're doing. So I'm hoping it stays around. This is the first time it's been out. It's great beer.
This
so,
is really good. Before we really delve into the beer, I guess we could talk a little bit about what the 2020 IPA actually is. And, you know, they actually linked up with the L.A. River Revitalization Corporation, or L.A. River Corp. And their project is kind of a massive project.
Right.
And proceeds from this beer go towards that project, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And can you speak on the project?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. It's a 51-mile stretch of the L.A. River that they plan on revitalizing, redoing to make it a greenway, a walkway for, you know, residents and people to go
like
and enjoy.
Yeah, like a bike path and everything.
Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Right.
You know the L.A. River.
Yeah, no, I've seen the plans of this. I didn't know that... I know that they made a final decision. I heard there was some talk about making it into a freeway, and right. then also into making it like you're talking about, right. into like a green belt or something.
Right. Yeah. yeah. It's a 51 mile stretch from Canoga Park to Long Beach.
That's massive stretch of
huge.
Property.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, and the plan is to have it done by the year 2020.
Right. So this is the 2020 IPA. Exactly. Yeah. And you know the LA River is just like a concrete, like a weird thing yeah. running through you know the city.
Well, it's the main flood control channel for the LA Basin.
Right. Well, a main flood control, like a wash, is that what they refer to that as?
No, it's just a way to divert the water into a central area and then out to the sea at Long Beach.
So I think this project is awesome. I mean, if you could have a long bike path and have something actually aesthetically pleasing to the eyeball, you know, that's a very admirable cause. So again, we're drinking the 2020 IPA. David Pixler in studio from Straub, Jim Kennedy in studio as well. Now let's talk about the beer, man. Yeah, because you... I kept reading about this thing as more or less a hoppy red,
right?
You know, and I dig on that. What gives this the? It's an IPA. It's considered an
absolutely,
IPA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, an India Pale Ale, and it is rather. I don't know. It gets the red color from what the malts, right?
Yeah, it's all the grain, the type of grain that they use, and they can manipulate it with a couple different. Grain types to get a specific color, a little bit more red or a little less red.
Right.
You know, it's all in the grain.
It's all like trial and error. It's like baking a cake, you know, to get the right color. And
pretty much.
Jim, since you're relatively new to beer, do you know the four ingredients that are involved in all the beers in the world?
Hops.
There you
water,
go. Water.
Barley.
Sure.
And... I don't know the fourth one.
What's the fourth one?
Yeast. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Wow, the one thing that's in common with wine. Yeah. I should have known that.
The soul of beer, yeah.
So I guess as a brewer, you know, you got to come up with various ways, various hops that you want to use, mm-hmm. Different malts, and how you even roast the malts. Is that the case as well?
Yeah, the brewers themselves don't roast. They have, nowadays most of them, they buy them from a place that they're pre-roasted or whatever, but they have a maltster that does that. Or they roast them to a certain degree so that they'll be either very pale or they can go all the way to like black malt. Mm-hmm. And you're getting just color out of it at that point. You're not getting any kind of sugars, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's all sorts of different.
Do the malts add
styles.
To the flavor or is it just really for color?
Oh. No, they absolutely add to the flavor.
Yeah.
And it depends on what you're going for. There's different styles from like Germany. There's, you know, obviously American styles. Two row malt is a pale malt that they use as a what they call a base malt.
Yeah.
Where you're going to get most of the sugars out of it and not as much color necessarily, but that's why they call it a base malt, because you have basically your sugar base that the yeast then converts into alcohol and CO2.
I've heard so many times that again it is like trial and error, and you'll get these brewmasters sitting and mixing, you know, beers from various I don't know, tanks or something like that, just to find the perfect flavor, you know?
To fine-tune it, right?
Yeah. Golden Road 2020 is what we're drinking right now, and Golden Road is the brewery that we're actually going to be featuring each and every Friday this month for the What's on Tap segment. Golden Road, have you been there, man?
I have.
Yeah, what's it all about?
It's amazing. The brewery itself, it's actually really personal to them, this whole project, because it's right near the riverbed. And in fact, they talk about how a lot of their employees drive across that riverbed regularly to get to work. So that this whole 2020 IPA and the LA revitalization project is very personal to a lot of them, because they see it on a regular basis.
It's like a win-win situation, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
The brewery's huge. They I believe it was in 2013 that they did an expansion, they actually added. They have a small restaurant there where you can go in and sample beers. They're basically like
so right
a
there on
room.
Premises, they have like a tap
Absolutely.
Room and a
yeah.
pub and
oh, yeah.
A place to hang out
yeah,
at.
It's really cool. You walk in and there's like a whole little greenbelt area kind of right in front of it. They have tables and chairs up, and then you go out onto their deck inside the restaurant. And
cool.
then in the back, they have an area that's more of a private area they call Chloe's.
Uh-huh.
You kind of have to be a member. You go in there enough and you can sign up, become a member, and you have private parties there. They have great New Year's Eve
parties.
Well,
you can only go in there if you're like an insider?
Pretty much, yeah. You got to be special.
Wow, that is super elite. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can go there and sign up for it, and then you get invited to their special events and private parties and things they have. But it's a lot of fun. And those guys know how to have fun at that brewery. They have a great time there.
Right? They should.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the beer business, you know?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Jim, your take on this beer being, I guess, new to the craft beer scene?
It's what I would think of when I think of an IPA, and I think it's wonderful. It's a great beer.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty
very
good.
Tasty.
It's very drinkable.
Yeah.
Again, high alcohol content, but you would never know it because
no, I don't.
The flavor is great.
It really does cover the alcohol very well. And it's very, very fresh. I really like the freshness of it, what I might call the brightness of it.
Right.
It's
what does that come like when you smell it? Like, what does that fresh, crisp smell come from? Is it the piney hops?
It's coming in a lot from the hops, yeah. You get a little bit. You're going to get some aromas out of the grains, not a whole lot, but you're going to get some. Most of it comes out of the hops and the different style hops they use. For this one in particular, you get a lot of pine,
yeah.
A little bit of citrus.
Which I love. I love a hoppy red. You know, yeah. I really do, and this is an amazing beer. This is the 2020 IPA from Golden Road.
Pacific Northwest West hops, they're awesome.
Pacific Northwest hops.
Yeah.
Interesting, like Washington?
Yeah. Washington, they use hops, and maybe not necessarily in this particular beer, but hop styles out of there like Cascade hops, Willamette, named after like the Willamette River.
Yeah, the Willamette Valley is a big wine growing region, exactly. By the way.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
What's a good climate to grow hops in? Is it similar to wine?
You know, I don't know if it really is or not. I'm not 100%
yeah,
sure.
No kidding.
I know, obviously, the Pacific Northwest is a great place to be growing hops because they grow a lot of great ones.
Yeah.
But they do. They have certain longitude and latitudes that they actually all hop growers try to stay on. It has escaped me at this moment what those actual degrees are.
But there is an ideal climate to
grow hops. They focus on those areas.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's so many different varieties, which is crazy, you know. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. All sorts of different stuff from different countries that add different flavors and even sometimes textures to the beers. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it is, like you said earlier, it's like they're literally trial and error making a recipe saying, okay, I want to add this and get this flavor out of it or get this aroma or get this. And it's just trial and error.
I'm just curious, because like with wines, you can taste regionality in the wines. If someone was really good, could they tell you where the hops came from based upon the taste of them?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're that good. I mean, obviously, even as in a wine, maybe a sommelier, you'd have to have that kind of a palate to get that out of it, or just a lot of experience. Yeah. Maybe.
But I didn't know that was transferable into the beer also, where you could tell where
this
came from Belgium or this came from the Northwest or this came from England or wherever.
Yeah, I'm not that good, but
some of the beers that you guys have brought in the past on this What's on Tap segment here on KX93.5, some of them have been incredibly complex. Not a lot of them have been the IPA style of beer, some Belgian styles and stuff like that. Do you find that you could still make a super complex and rich IPA?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, and it's all again grain bill and the different types of grain you use. Mm-hmm. Golden Road makes another beer. It's called Burning Bush.
Yeah.
That is they call it a smoked IPA, and it's a specific grain style that gives it a very smoky flavor.
Yeah.
And aroma. I mean, when you taste it, you really get that smokiness out of it. It's great.
Does that mean that some of the stuff's been more toasted?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's also, again, where it comes from. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, those are grains that come mainly from Europe, from Germany, that they find for that. They use it in German beers. They call them Rauch beers.
Yeah.
I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but I'm trying.
Sounds good enough for me, man.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's one of their other great IPAs in this series is the Burning Bush. That would be considered an imperial. It's 8%.
Sure. And an imperial or a double is what?
It's just basically, under most circumstances, you'd consider it double the malt bill. So, you know, you're going to put twice as many malts in it to get more alcohol out of it.
Sure, double the ingredients in an imperial, generally, if you find that at your brew pub or local restaurant. Again, this is the What's on Tap segment. Straub Distributing Company is a hell of a resource and invaluable resource here in Southern California. Jim Kennedy is here from the Clashing Heads program. David Pixler is here as well from Straub, and I guess our resident home brewer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right? That's the thing. I guess if you're a wine aficionado like yourself, Jim, I guess that's a little bit of a difference. You can't really make your own wine at home that easy, or can you?
You can't really, but there are home winemakers that actually enter the Orange County or the Orange County Fair wine competition.
Yeah.
It's a separate category.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no, you wouldn't really do that. You wouldn't really do it for your own, because basically you're not going to have access to the grapes and to the good grapes, because those are sold off through long-term relationships.
Sure, but there are some home operations.
Yeah, there are some people that make generally for themselves, because I'm not sure what the laws are as far as being able to sell stuff that you make, at what level you've got to have a license and a beer or a wine distributorship, and the licenses through the old TTB, the old trade tobacco The old ATF, I mean, as far as who has to, what level of production or what you have to get.
So it seems to me that it'd be much easier to be a home brewer.
Seems like it, absolutely.
There's some regulations. I mean, you can only brew up to 300 gallons a year.
Yeah, see, I don't know what that is for the wine.
Even if you're not selling it. If you brew more than 300 gallons a year at home, you're supposed to get licensed.
Yeah.
And I say, have you
reported to the federal government?
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, David Pixler here has an unbelievable home brewing operation. And will you bring in your home brews next time?
Absolutely.
That would be great,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, I'll let you guys try them. I had I think Howard maybe have made mention of a disaster that I had.
Yeah, he did when you weren't here.
Yeah.
He blew a cask or something.
Yeah, they're called firkins. They look like little kegs. But they're designed for a different purpose.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Careful.
I know.
They're designed for a little different purpose. You're supposed to brew your beer, then you put it into the firkin and let it ferment within the firkin. The firkin is actually capped on the top and on the side with a bung, which is where the term bung hole comes from. Mm. And once it sets long enough, it carbonates itself in the fermentation process. And then you actually tap it with a spigot and a faucet, and you pour it right out of the cask. They're generally served at a little higher temperature, what they would consider room temperature in Europe, about 55 to 60 degrees or so.
Yeah.
And they use either gravity to just pour or let it pour right out of the firkin, or they have what's called a beer engine, which actually looks like a giant hand pump.
Yeah, like a pump.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen that in bars.
Right. And they have the spigot on it kind of loops up and then goes down into the glass. And so you put it literally into the glass and fill it up that way.
What happened at home? You blew up a thing?
It was a 5-gallon firkin. I filled it with a double IPA that I make.
Yeah.
And I had already fermented the beer. So I had to put in a starter for CO2. You put in corn sugar, or they call it dextrose. When you put it inside, the yeast that's in there consumes it, turns it into CO2. Well, I left it sitting there for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And the only place in my house that I could keep it where it would be temperature controlled was my bedroom. And it wasn't a fun phone call that I got when I found out that it had exploded.
Mm-hmm.
From being overpressurized, and 5 gallons of 10.5% alcohol double IPA was all over the carpet, all over the walls, and all over the ceilings, mind you. About $500 later, in a frantic phone call to Stanley Steamers, I got it taken care of. So,
how cool is it though? I now would expect nothing less for a beer person like yourself to walk home and have your apartment or home smelling like hops.
It smelled like hops for 3 weeks, and it was glorious. I'm not going to lie.
Absolutely.
I didn't want to go to work. I almost took vacation for 3 whole weeks because I couldn't. I was actually more upset that I lost the beer than I was upset that I spent $500 to get it cleaned
up.
When
you took a trip to Golden Road, whose beer we're actually highlighting today, were you able to stand in their hop room a little bit and kind of take it all in?
They'll let us go around. They'll show us the brewery and stuff like that. They let us smell some of their hops and stuff.
Yeah.
Like a hop room, not necessarily, but they store them all a little different. Same thing with, because they have, if they're going to bourbon barrel age something, they'll have bourbon barrels there they keep in coolers and, different places of the brewery. The one thing that's cool about Golden Road is they actually have a pilot system that's kind of similar to what I have as a homebrew system, and they let people come up and do homebrews there in the brewery. Once you've been up there a few times, you become a member of Chloe's and things like that.
Yeah.
And you can get involved in things like that. And they'll invite people up, on special occasions to come in and actually do a little homebrew, and you get to take it home. And
I want to be a member.
Fun.
I want to be of Chloe's. I want to be an insider, you know? I want to be part of the industry, man.
We'll get you. I know some people.
Right?
I know some people.
We're trying the 2020 IPA by Golden Road Brewing. They're up in Los Angeles. Again, David is here from Straub Distributing. Jim Kennedy is here as well. You can find the Golden Road Brews locally at Whole Foods as well as Gina's Pizza. And normally at this time we would crack one open, but we've already been drinking a couple in the nature of full disclosure for at least an hour. But can we crack one and
let's crack it.
Kind of go through this beer now? Oh, God, that sounds so good.
Excellent. It's music to my ears.
Again, Golden Road's a relatively new brewery from Southern California doing their thing out of Los Angeles. They only come out with cans. They have a great brewing operation. They have a pub and a tap room right there inside of their facility. And the 2020 IPA is actually a partnership with the LA River Revitalization Corporation. So proceeds from this 2020 IPA from Golden Road actually go towards this project where they're trying to make the LA River look a little bit better.
Yeah, and according to the artist rendition, it's going to be fantastic.
Right? Oh, have you seen the SketchUp?
That's what's on the can.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's the logo on the can is the artist rendition of what it's going to look like when it's finished.
God, I would love to see something like this go down. You know, it would just be great for Los Angeles. Yeah, what's up, Jim?
Like I say, on the side of the can, they've actually got a link to the LA River project.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely.
So you could actually go ahead. It's LARiverCorp.com/Greenway2020.
Right.
And that would take you to the website for the LA River Project.
And as an IPA drinker, someone who's not really accustomed to Belgium styles, I'm a hophead, I guess is the term.
Yep.
This is a very delicious IPA. It is rich and it is very, very easy to drink. I love a hoppy red myself. I guess one that comes to mind is the Green Flash Hophead Red. I don't know if you've had that, but it's one of my favorites. And this is a little bit interesting in color. It's not really a red color. It's more of a darker.
Right. And a lot of times it's going to be about as close. It has what they call a red hue, where it's not literally red, but it's about as close to red as you're going to be able to get using the grains that you're using and in a beer like this.
Mm. Amazing.
Yeah.
It's so damn good.
It's fantastic.
Man. Yeah. Do you have any idea what we're going to be featuring from Golden Road in the upcoming weeks?
You know, I do not. I'm not 100% sure. It's a surprise to me. But I'll tell you, whatever they're featuring, it's going to be phenomenal, because I've had just about every one of the beers they make, except for some of the super special things at their brewery, just because I don't live up there.
Right.
But if the Greenway gets to looking like this, I might have to move. I'm not going to lie. I might have to move up there and walk that place.
No, I was actually looking at their roster of beers, and they have some seasonal things and some limited edition type of stuff, but the roster or menu of beers is pretty good. There's a lot of them up on there, man. What, do you have a favorite of what you've tried thus far from Golden Road?
From Golden Road, I think my favorite is probably the Burning Bush, just because of the smoke grain that they use in it. To have the balance that it does, and it's 8%. And I mean, I'm like you, I'm a hophead, and I'm a big IPA fan. It's just amazing. It's
what is it called again?
Beer. It's called Burning Bush.
And what style of beer is that?
It's a smoked IPA, or they might call it a Rauch beer.
Yeah.
Out of Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a term that they use in Germany for that smokiness that you get out of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. But it's fantastic. Yeah. And it's another one of those that, you know, you can have one or two of them. It's 8%, so you know you gotta be careful with that. But it masks the alcohol very well. It's very malty, has a little touch of sweetness to it, and then definitely, like I keep saying, it's got that smokiness in it. I just love. I think it's great.
Well, this one that we're having, I get the crisp piney scent immediately when I put my nose in this thing, you know. And what do you think, Jim?
I think it's wonderful, and I really don't. That's a problem that's been coming up with wines lately is the producers have been basically pushing alcohol levels up in wines, and it's a question whether you can taste it or not. And here I do not taste it at all. So they've done a very good job of basically blending it all together to where it's really indistinguishable from what I'd would get from a lower
alcohol beer. Is there a term for that, like the alcohol-y taste?
I call it the alcohol burn.
Yeah.
Because you get that on your tongue if it's very alcoholic, I guess is the term you use. It kind of gives a little burn on your tongue as it goes down, and that in this beer in particular, it's totally masked. You don't get that whatsoever, and which could also, under certain circumstances, make it a dangerous beer to be drinking if it's higher in alcohol content, in the sense that you may not know you're putting too many away.
Yeah. You know, and then before you know it, you said you're waking up on the floor of the bar.
Right. Yeah. How did I get down here?
Yeah.
Wait, the sun rose. Where am I?
You know, absolutely. But again, this is a great IPA. Yeah. Honestly, it's like an instant favorite of mine. It really is.
Right.
Yeah. It's the 2020 IPA. From Golden Road Brewing. They only do cans. Each one comes in a single pint, which is great, and it's perfect to pour. And thanks for bringing this glassware, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to pour it in the right glass.
I know,
Golden Road glass is the best glass to pour
now,
the Golden Road beer.
There is a specific way to pour a beer, from what I understand.
Yep.
Jim, are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I remember. They went over it in one of the first episodes, I think.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from that. They were showing us how you specifically pour it, which is different from how you'd pour wine, but it's more similar to how you pour champagne almost.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Well, how are you supposed to pour wine?
You would basically, the wine, there really isn't a right and a wrong way. You pretty much would tilt the glass a little bit and pour it, but it's not that much because really there's no carbonation in wine. In champagne, it's important to basically tilt the glass and pour it in a similar fashion as the guys were showing in the first couple episodes here.
Yeah. Are you a wine guy yourself or not so much?
I do drink wine.
Do you?
I'm not an aficionado on wine, but I do love wine. I drink wine when I get the chance.
There are some beers, however, that are aged in wine barrels.
Yes.
We've seen that before for sure. Yeah.
And I've been saying a lot of my wine, reason I'm doing this is a lot of my wine friends have been getting into beers more and more lately. They've, I don't know, I think it may be because some of the costs in the wine industry has gotten so high that they're just basically, I mean, this is nowhere near the cost of a bottle of beer or a bottle of wine. And they're looking for alternatives that are less economically, that are cheaper for them to do or less expensive. And I know lots of them that have been going and learning about craft beers and going to craft beer tastings. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to learn a little bit about it, too, because it seems like it's, it seems to be quite interesting. And I've got, like I said, lots of friends that have been doing it over the last 2, 3, 4 years that never have mentioned beer, and like probably about a half a dozen that I see stuff they're posting on Facebook. We're here, we're at this craft brewery, we're at this, we're drinking so-and-so craft beer at this place and stuff.
Yeah, it's so social. I mean, social media ties right into beer drinking.
Yeah, it's very hot right now.
Right, and that's what beer is all about. It's that socialness of it. It's getting together with friends and talking about life over beer and talking about the beers. And I mean, that's what is the essence of it, and it's awesome. And I love doing this, even if it's not on the radio. I'm just doing it at home, hanging out with friends.
Oh, we know you do, man. We appreciate you coming through. Again, this is David Pixler from Straub Distributing Company. Jim Kennedy is here as well. I'm Mookie. You are you. And we are member-supported radio, KX93.5. This whole month on our What's on Tap segment on Fridays, we will be highlighting Golden Road Brewing, doing their thing out of Los Angeles. Again, highly recommended by me, you guys. They're definitely doing their thing. It's an operation that you could certainly get behind. And wanted to thank them so much for putting out this 2020 IPA. Again, they linked up with the LA Revitalization Corporation for an interesting project. So now that that's out of the way, what are you doing this weekend, man? Is it going to be a beer-filled weekend for you?
I am, yes. It's always a beer-filled weekend for me. I'm going to be brewing myself. I try to brew every weekend just because I have such a passion. I love doing it. Obviously, I like drinking it, but I like to stay on top of how to do it. I like to keep that knowledge in my head, and the more you do it, the more you know. And I just like to do it as much as possible. And I share it with all my friends. I don't sit at home drinking 5 and 6 gallons a weekend. I do share it with all my friends.
Well, next time you got to bring in some of your home
I will.
Brews. Yeah,
absolutely.
What do you like to brew?
We'll judge you on the complexity and interestingness.
Yeah, I'll make sure you pour it right first. I got to make sure you pour it right.
Sure.
I was gonna ask you what do you like to brew.
I don't want to say I've brewed just about everything because there's a ton of different styles out there, but my favorite is double IPAs just because I'm such an IPA fan.
Sure.
I've tried to clone beers. You find books that kind of talk about different styles of IPAs and things, and they kind of walk you through the process of some great IPAs that are out there. And I try to clone them A, because I like them, and B, because if I get as close as I can to the way that one tastes, I know I'm doing something right. In my brewing.
Absolutely.
So, I love double IPAs. I've made single IPAs. I've made West Coast IPAs.
As a home brewer, where could one get their, hops and malts and yeast? Where do people go out there to get this stuff? Because, I'm sure you're not farming it in your backyard.
Actually, I am, to be.
Oh, boy.
I have my own hop vines. They're actually called vines with a B.
Dude.
I've got 4 different varieties that grow. This is my 3rd year growing them. Now, the difference is that I could probably yield from each plant, I might get a couple of pounds worth of hop cones, but those couple of pounds aren't going to do a whole lot for me in the product that I'm making. A lot of brewers now, even microbreweries and major breweries, are using pellets, which are actually hop cones just crushed together into little pellets because they yield more of the alpha acids and things that you're looking for to bitter the beers.
Yeah.
So that's what I use in my brews. I do it more just for the fun of it. Uh-huh. I pull them down and I you can make things out of them that smell like hops and you can actually design the vines. It's kind of like ivy in the sense that it just kind of grows on whatever you put it around. You could put it around lattice work or something and just kind of make your backyard look real cool with hops hanging down all over the place and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Have you seen the hop plant or vine?
Yeah, I've seen some of those. I actually had a friend who planted some Zinfandel grapes and tried it in his backyard, but the yield wasn't, he wasn't ever going to make wine out of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you're growing those in the backyard. I thought, aren't they fairly available off the internet? Can't you pretty much
buy?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can get, it's basically, because it's a perennial, so it comes back every year, you basically just buy a root. And,
okay.
And that's how, you know, even with mine that I have in the backyard, if I dig into the ground, I can cut the roots off and then replant that. It'll turn into another vine.
No kidding. Yeah. There's a similar plant that I know you could do something like that with, and that's marijuana.
Right. Well, the funny thing is, hops are the cousin of the marijuana plant.
Yeah,
a lot of people
I've
don't
heard
know
that before, actually.
It's a cousin to that that genome, I guess. Is that?
That's interesting.
But yeah, that's, you'll get a lot of that that resin, that stickiness that people talk about. You know, when you're talking about marijuana. But
yeah.
The plants themselves, when you have a fresh hop cone in your hands and everybody's probably seen those commercials where they rub the cones together and they smell them. That's what you do. I mean, the aromas that you get right there in your hands are it's phenomenal.
It's a great smell. I feel like it's an acquired smell that you might get throughout the years, you know. It's my favorite thing, you know. Absolutely.
Right.
Again, David Pixler is here. Jim Kennedy is here. Straub Distributing Company if it wasn't for them, an invaluable resource. We could not have this What's on Tap segment each and every Friday. We're highlighting the 2020 IPA from Golden Road, an instant favorite of mine. Golden Road beers could be found at Whole Foods and Gina's Pizza locally. And again, if you're out and about, you're going to see a concert, going to a sporting event, if you see the Golden Road brand, you might want to give it a shot because it is certainly legit. We're trying to... this is a brand new segment for us, you know, so we have no idea exactly what we're doing yet, you know, except we're a bunch of great beer people. If it'd be agreeable to you, let's just hang out, have a couple more. We'll play some music.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about things. Is that cool?
Sign me up.
All right. David Pixler, thanks for joining us. Jim Kennedy,
thank you guys.
Thanks for
being
here. Jim, you're always welcome to come back, and we'll try some other brews in the future.
Great.
All right. This is What's on Tap on KX93.5.
This has been What's on Tap. Listen on Fridays at 4 p.m. for more brews and beer tips.